This is Mikey Four Eyes from Maul. This is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Hope you're ready to listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, I don't know about you, but I just heard a thunderclap.
It might be because you're in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, so it was a wave crashing.
Probably. I'll say it's bright and sunny on my part of town, so I don't know what your part of town's looking like.
I'll take the moonlit ocean. I'm a dark kind of guy. So. Joining us on this episode of Wrestle Horror is a good friend of mine and a great haunter in his own right, Mike Reynolds, also known as Mikey Four Eyes. Mikey, what is going on, my friend?
Well, you know, just living the life as a haunter right now, just quietly doing my thing, working and doing my thing.
So let's go back to the beginning for listeners, Mikey, and
okay,
let's talk about how you became a haunter.
Well, it happened at Scarefest about seven years ago. And I was with Brett, you know, the former Bloodzo that was on your guys' show a couple weeks ago. And he was telling me about you, saying, hey, I'm a part of this this haunt group, and we travel and do our thing, and, you know, we make our own characters. And then I asked him, I'm like, so is Bloodzo a part of that? He's like, yeah, I can do what I want to an extent. And I'm like, oh, that sounds actually really fun, you know, because I started scaring as a little kid, like with my mom, like scaring the crap out of my mom. And, you know, and she had a few choice words for that, which is pretty funny. But and then, you know, we went to Scarefest down in Lexington. And he was telling me that you were there and you were the owner of Maul, which is the group that I'm affiliated with now. And I'm like, oh, I got to meet him. And so through the whole convention, we got there at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just yelling at Brad, like, dude, I got to meet Jim, you know? I'm like, how will I know it's him? They're like, oh, he's a big guy, and he could topple you in a heartbeat. And I'm like, okay. So, and it's like, well, I'm a short guy, so that kind of narrows it down to everybody. And it's funny because I ran into Robert Mukes and I looked at Brett and I was like, is that Jim? And he's like, no, that's Robert Mukes. I'm like, oh, okay. So never mind. And then Kevin Nash comes walking. I'm like, okay, that's not him. That's Kevin Nash. And then I ran into you and you were, what was your costume? It was,
I was Repo Man.
Repo Man. Okay. And, you know, and then I was bugging the crap out of you. You know, I talked to you and said, hey, I want to do it. And I kept bugging you and pushing you until you finally said yes, just to shut my ass up. And lo and behold, 6 years later, here I am.
Well, that's definitely, you were relentless. You were driving me nuts at one point in time. And quite frankly, your enthusiasm was infectious. And that ultimately is the reason why I invited you to join the team, because I didn't usually bring in rookies.
Right.
But there was something about you that, I mean, enthusiasm alone, you wanted to do this, and you'd do whatever it took to do this, and you constantly beat yourself up when you're trying to develop a character because you think it's not good enough when I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. So you've got all the qualities and tools that a good haunter needs. And that's why I brought you on board to begin with.
And I appreciate it a lot. With, bottom of my heart. But I do want to do a side note real quick. I just want to say RIP to Paul Orndorff. You know, he wasn't a wrestler back in my day. It was probably more of yours and Donnie's days. But, you know, rest in peace to a true legend, Mr. Wonderful. So, but, yeah, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Thank you for that, Mikey. It's a, it was a sad day when I saw that news because I watched him many a time.
I watched him get inducted. You know, I watched some of his matches. This was before, you know, he passed away and all that. And, you know, he was really good and all that. So it's hard losing people that, you know, we grow up with on TV and stuff, you know. So like when Roddy Piper died, my heart broke. Or like when David Bowie died, I was like in tears. So, but.
Yeah, my buddy Sherman Tank sent me a meme. It wasn't a meme, but it's just a picture. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of like set me back a little bit and made me think about it. But I never even realized it. But if you remember the complete Heenan family, every single member of the Heenan family is now passed away. Mr. Wonderful was the last one.
Wow.
You had Andre, you had Bundy, you had Orndorff, you had Heenan. You had Mr. Perfect, Rick Rude, Big John Studd, all of them Pat. So the whole Heenan family's gone. And he sent me that picture and it like gave me chills. I was like, wow,
man,
it's crazy.
Bobby the Brain Heenan, man. He was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
He knew his talent.
Yeah. For your career, your haunting career, so you didn't really start at a haunted house, right? Like normal people, you just went right into traveling actor?
I went right into it, and my first haunt was we went to MHC, and it was my first year at MHC. It was up in Columbus, and, you know, Jim and everybody was like, who wants to go to the haunt? And I'm like, oh, me. And then they said, okay, who wants to act in it? I'm like, really? I'm like, well, I don't have a costume for it. Is that okay? And they were like, oh yeah, yeah. It was it Kelly Collins haunt, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah, Scaratorium.
Yeah, Scaratorium. And it was, and so they put me in there, and I was with, I think I was with Rebecca and Damien Reaper, and I was behind, what is that, a slam door? What do they call it?
Drop panel.
Yeah, a drop panel. And it's funny because I just came up with my own things as I went. And I actually, it's weird because the character was just made up just like that. And it's weird because I like transformed into it. But man, it wore me out.
Very cool. Yeah, one thing I wanted to touch on with you guys, and I'll kind of just go ahead and get into it, is I don't remember an episode us talking about traveling actors and what a traveling actor is and what traveling actor services involve. So if you go, I mean, and I'm sure Jim's the expert at it because he owns a traveling actor company. So I mean, right. If you guys want to touch on what a traveling actor is for, I mean, I'm sure most haunters know, but some newbies like, you know, like out there may not. But just, you know, talk a little bit about what a traveling actor actually is and what services they provide and stuff like that, if you could.
Well, in my view, as the rookie, I'll consider myself the rookie because you guys are more veteran than I am. I would feel like not many people know what a traveling haunt actor is. I mean, some people in the haunt world do know, but it's like, you know, you don't hear many groups. But for me, in my eyes, we just travel to haunts that, of course, they either hire us or we just volunteer because, I mean, most of the time I was at Indy Scream Park, but then I worked for a couple charity haunts, such as the Trail for You, Donnie, and I worked for Backwoods. I worked for Backwoods with Alan Shell. And, you know, and it's funny because people that are out there to get paid in the haunt world, I feel like that's a terrible thing. Yeah, it's a job and all that. You bust your butt. But man, when I went to like your haunt, Donnie, and then I went to Alan's haunt, and I didn't get paid for it, even though Alan is Alan and he's very generous, but he, and it was just it was just the enthusiasm and everything. You know, these guys aren't getting paid and they're going out there and killing it. And it just brought something new to me. And it's like, it's just so heartwarming knowing that, and man, they have crowds, they interact so good, but you know, it's different, you know, traveling from, like, I could be at Indy Scream Park on a Friday night and then travel all the way to Columbus to Allen's in on for Saturday. And it's like, you know, it's tiring, but at the same time, it's fun, you know, because I mean, I understand some people don't like being in the same haunt for 20, 30 years. That's what makes it fun for being a traveling haunt actor, going to different haunts, having different clients and getting your name out there and just having fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you learn a lot. You have your own freedom. To an extent, you have your own freedom. Like, we create our own characters where a haunt, for say, says, okay, here, you're going to do this character tonight, you're going to do this character tomorrow night. We get to be our own character. And it makes your mind a lot sharper, I think, when you create your own characters. And you don't run off a script. You go on your own and you just make that character. So there's a lot to it, to being a traveling haunt actor. I mean, it's not easy. In my eyes, I don't think it's easy, but at the same time, it's totally worth it. It builds you as a haunter, I feel like, and it transforms you to be smarter and just think of, you know, lines you can say where you don't have to say the same thing over and over and over and over again.
Right. So it sounds pretty much, from what I gather, and I always compare the two because that's what our podcast is all about, but mm-hmm. it's kind of basically traveling actors. It's kind of like independent pro wrestlers where they, you know, they go and get bookings at different haunts and they travel to those haunts and they perform and, you know, they get paid sometimes, sometimes they don't, and they go home. It's pretty much identical to pro wrestling.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
At least a hot dog and a handshake, right?
Right.
That's funny.
But, you know, the nuances of traveling actors are different. And some people don't really understand why. And it takes a special person. And there are plenty of them out there. I mean, there's a laundry list of great actors out there that have traveled to multiple haunts, and I respect each and every one of them. You know, with Maul, now in their cases, you know, they weren't, in certain cases they were, but the majority of them are just freelancers, and they might work together, but they're not part of a group per se.
Okay.
And there are others that are part of an entertainment troupe. And that's where Maul falls under, because Maul would travel to specific haunts that were booked. And quite frankly, at one year, I remember at least one weekend that had Maul actors of it at least seven different haunts on the same weekend.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where the group mentality comes in, because you can cover different venues. But nowadays, as I'm looking forward, and you know, I'm just a consultant at this point, having sold the business to Mr. Dan Leopold, mm-hmm. who is upholding all of my expectations and everything. I have no doubts he won't succeed. But this year is going to be different. People still aren't wanting to work. I don't know if that's going to spill over into the haunt community, but if anybody in the haunt community is listening, And I hope you are, because we are Wrestle Horror.
Mm-hmm.
If you know of a haunt in the Kentucky, Indiana, and Ohio area, what? Yes, thank you, Mikey. that might need actors, you need to reach out to Maul, because they've got some great talent.
Absolutely.
You might be shorthanded. I don't know how it's going to work with you guys. But if you find yourself in that, contact them as soon as possible. The sooner the better. The later it gets, the harder it's going to be to book somebody. So you can find them on Facebook at Mikey. What's the Facebook page? I don't remember anymore.
It's Maul, but Mobile Actors United Legion, or Maul Monsters or something. Just look up Maul and see. Yeah. Just look for this emblem right here, and you'll find it.
Yeah, I don't say. So I have a feeling that some haunts may be short on actors this season, but I don't think that's going to be a big problem from what I saw this past weekend. Because we did a Carnage Friday and Saturday night did a sneak peek session, and Friday we were a couple people short, you know, because it was a Friday night, people work, whatever, and it's the middle of July, so you know what I mean. But Saturday, I mean, we had actors from different haunts show up, and I mean, there was one time I'd go out into the lobby and they probably had 8 queue line actors. I mean, just people just roaming around everywhere, and every scene, every spot was filled for the most part. And there was, you know, so I mean, there was an overflow of talent and actors on Saturday night. So I think as time goes on, I think it'll be good. I mean, it's going to be a huge haunt season. I can almost predict that, because just from what we saw this past weekend is going to tell us that. But there'll be a good amount of actors that's going to be out there. And if you're deciding not to, get off your lazy ass and go work, do some haunting.
Well, and that's the thing that Maul does. We are majority queue line actors. So, I mean, we love playing in queue lines, but we don't mind playing in the house. And it's like, you know, I mean, we're trying, you know, I already got in contact with there's a couple people that actually reached out to me today that wants to join the team. So we're slowly growing again, and we're dedicated. That's why our motto is hear the roar, fear the pride. And, you know, we bring the roar, but we definitely bring the pride, and we're ready to go. I'm at that state again where I first met Jim. I'm not shutting up about it. I bugged Dan, you know, we already got one contract right now, and we want to get at least one more, maybe two more, depending on how the season goes, you know, but we're ready to go. There's a lot of people jumping, and we're ready. We are definitely ready to go out.
Yeah. So getting back on the traveling actor services for a minute, how does that work? This will probably be a better question for Jim, but Mikey's more welcome to throw his input in as well. As for like the services, I mean, is it like people reach out to you and say, hey, we need 6 actors, or we need 4 actors, or do you reach out to other haunts, and or is it a mixture of both? And that's question one. Question two is there any other services you guys provide as a traveling actor company besides just haunt actors going and working queue lines and stuff?
That's a very good question, Donnie. And the answer to that is that I don't remember. I'm kidding. As far as the extra services go, I and several of the actors that work with me do voice work.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but the extra services also goes into, okay, here's an example. There's a brewery out in Indiana that was having a Halloween thing in middle of October, and they wanted some characters out there. And they booked 4 of us to come out. Anyway, we came out and we entertained for 4 hours while they had this this beer shindig going where we could drink. So
right there you go.
Free.
Yeah. That's kind of like what I was getting at. Like, you know, do people ever reach out to you and just say, you know, hey, we're going to shoot an independent horror film. And, you know, they stumbled across your website and saw a couple characters that they thought would fit their film or whatever.
We've been in a couple films.
You've been bringing up that damn movie again.
I was going to lead to it, but I figure I'll let it slide this time.
What movie are you talking about?
What he was going for. But, you know, the way Maul really got started was, interesting. Because the vision that Jason, Henry, and myself had is we didn't even think about making money. We just wanted to go out and have fun scaring people.
Mm-hmm. You know?
That's all we wanted to do. And we figured a few friends might want to go do it with us. And then, you know, Jason and I had been working on it. We've been talking about it. And I had talked to certain people and people like Tater knew about it. And there was a haunt out in Indiana called Indy Scream Park who had tried to contact Tater to come out and do some work. But Tater books up really quick. I mean, in some cases, if I'm not mistaken, a year ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But Tater was gracious enough to refer him to me, knowing that I had a fresh group of actors that were looking to prove themselves someplace else other than their home haunts. So through phone calls and contacts, we made money. And I was thrilled to be able to pay the actors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it as much as they would have made it at Dent or whatever haunt they were working at? Maybe not. But it covered the bills and they got their hotel room taken care of.
All right.
It's the passion. It's the passion.
Right. At one point in time, I had a group of Alan Schell's actors before he went for the whole month. They were itching to come out and act. So they came out and acted with us at Indy Scream Park. And, you know, I put them up in the room and everything. And they wouldn't take the money. I said, I'm just like Alan. You're taking this money or you're not coming back.
That's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had to do to get them to take this money because I paid in the 6 years I ran it myself. I made sure every actor got paid every week or depending on how the pay schedule worked. They always got their money.
All right.
You know. Before anything else, you know, before any expenses or things we wanted to buy for the team, first thing I did was make sure they were paid.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel great to be able to do that. And it turned into a long-term contract with them and you know, some things changed, but it all worked out in the end. Unfortunately, they no longer need our services, and that was right before COVID slammed the world shut.
Right. Yep.
But there's other venues out there, and I'm confident that Maul is going to be out there airing it up and making them recognize what Hear the Roar, Fear the Pride means.
Very cool.
So, should I find a cricket sound?
Yeah, got me in mid-drink. Wet no whistle.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Hold on.
That sounds like the crowd after my first wrestling promo.
Oh, that's great.
Let's see. Is it this one? Not that one either. First time's a charm.
Yeah.
There it is.
There's no crickets in the ocean. What are you doing?
We're back over to fun. So, Mikey,
Yes.
Favorite horror movie?
Oh, Nightmare on Elm Street. Doesn't even matter which one. Nightmare on Elm Street, man. Freddy Krueger is, he's my idol, man. Robert Englund and, what's his name? Wes Craven. Sorry. Robert Englund and Wes Craven, man. They are gods, man. And I was proud to meet Robert Englund, and man, it was worth the $100. He would sit there and just talk your ear off, just like Ari Lehman would. But, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, man. I like them all, man.
No, we tried to book him, but he's like, his agent said, like, no.
Who, Robert?
Yeah, I'm sure he's a little busy.
Hey, could try an interview or something. You know, he'll be at Whorehound in Cincinnati, and is it September?
Mm, I think so.
Yeah.
Now, did you base the Mikey Four Eyes character off of any kind of Nightmare on Elm Street reference?
No. Nope. Mikey Four Eyes actually originated and started as Johnny Four Eyes. Or no, excuse me. It was, his first name was Al Kilpone.
Yes.
And then he transformed into Johnny Four Eyes, because that sounds more mafia-ish and all that. And then everybody started calling me Mikey. I'm like, you know, I'll base this character almost off of me, you know, Mikey Four Eyes. You know, I wear glasses and stuff, but I was the snitch. I was the snitch. My character was the snitch, and I saw too much, and I got my face burned. I got my eyes gouged out and everything. It was intense. I haven't brought him out in a couple years, but he wants to come out again. But sometimes if I'm at work, you know, some people get a taste of him, because when I get mad, he just starts coming out.
Now, how many other characters do you have? Sorry, Jim, didn't mean to interrupt you there.
You're all right.
I have three characters altogether. I got Mikey Four Eyes, and I have another character. He's a tree character, and his name was Lord Timber, but then he's Timber. But as Bloodzo and a couple of other people like to call him, is Woody Fuckum. So, hey, that's, you know, and sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no. I don't know. It just depends. And the third character I cannot disclose yet, because he's still in the making, but I promise he will be ready for haunt season this season. And I will be at Allen's for the most part this year. So if you want to see him, or her, come on out and see him or her.
So I got nothing done.
Well, you talk to him all the time. You probably don't even have nothing to ask him.
I had something and it went away. What was it? Or, you know, Donnie goes, I keep saying I want to edit this stuff. Donnie says, leave it in.
Hey, you can edit it whatever you want. I just, you know.
Make it human, right? It's entertaining that way.
Oh, yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Okay, I remember what it was now. So if you want to see the elusive Al Kilpone, if you go to the mall public page, there is a promo video what year was it, Mike? Was it 2017?
18. Oh, no, it was, I've been doing this for 2016.
Was it 16?
It was 16, because last year was my fifth year, so, and this will be my sixth year, so yes.
Okay, so 2016. And you will see the elusive Al Kilpone discovering the Nazi crate that held the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I'll have to go check it out.
It's not the character that you have seen, Donnie, or you, Jim. You know, he has transformed you know, at first I was like, hey, I'm a cool little snitch badass. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm a snitch, I'm a dead ass and a badass. So
now is when you bring him back, is it going to, are you going to do the transformation where it keeps getting worse and worse and worse, or?
I do have a few things, I am planning with him. I try to revamp my character every year to, just keep a good storyline going. Just like in wrestling, you got to keep a good storyline going. Otherwise it's just, that's it. Mm-hmm. So at first, when I first started as Al Kilpone, you know, the name changes and all that alone, I had just a regular face, and it looked like I got the crap beat out of me. And then when I turned into Johnny, both my eyes were gone. You know, I had a prosthetic over my eyes and I had no eyes, but now, I have a contact in one eye. So it looks like I got blinded and beat the crap out of one eye. And then the other eye is missing. And, my weapon of choice, of course, is a baseball bat. And yes, I hear, oh my God, it's Lucille from Walking Dead. And I'm like, no, this is a lot better. I don't need nails and spikes to kill you. I just use bare bat. Mm-hmm. So, I do make new suits. I don't have the same suit every weekend, just in case there are returners from every weekend be like, oh, you're the same looking guy from last time. It's like, oh, you got a new suit. That's badass. You know? So mm-hmm. I try to revamp them, but I do have people that are like, hey, weren't you here last year? You totally redid it, you know? And they're like, it's badass looking, you know? And that's what I want. I want to make an impression on somebody like, oh my God, he was cool, you know? And you know, it's kind of funny because when we worked at Indie Screen Park, Jim's like, oh, don't be prepared to take pictures. I thought, oh, 4, 5, 6 pictures. No, every single person there wanted a picture with us. And it was funny because it's like, hey, I like signing my name. So I started handing out cards, like actual playing cards, when I was Mikey Four Eyes or Johnny Four Eyes, and I would have the Four Eyed Jack. And I would sign the Four-Eyed Jack and everything and hand it to people. And I actually have people still message me. They actually have it framed with the picture of me and them, which is really cool. Nice. So it's little stuff like that keeps me going, that there are people out there that remember the character, that remember the smallest detail. Be like, wait a minute, didn't you have no eyes last time? Now you have one eye and all that. And it's like, I'm doing my job. Right, maybe, you know. And it's like in wrestling, it's like when Mark Henry was Sexual Chocolate, or when I'm gonna bring it up, I'm breaking the fourth wall, when Kane was Glenn Jacobs, or when he was Isaac, or what was it, Isaac Yankum. Mm-hmm. And he got mad about that one time when and all that. So it's like, you know, there's stuff like that. It's like little stuff like that that goes a long way. So, but to answer your question, yes, I am revamping him and there will be changes.
Very cool. So you brought up wrestling. You said that Nightmare on Elm Street was your favorite horror film. Who's your favorite wrestler?
Oh boy. The man, Chris Jericho. He's not the best in the world anymore. He is the GOAT. But he's my favorite pro wrestler, my indie wrestler. I have a couple indie wrestlers from now and future great wrestling. I would say Shea Solo is one of my favorites. Matt Taylor. I love Schwartzy. Schwartzy is hilarious. He's awesome. I love Onyx. I like Jake Ely. I like Ass Fields, Brandon Fields. I like, you know, but Chris Jericho is my idol, and he is the best in the world. He is the GOAT.
How many times have you met him?
Oh man. I'd say about 7 or 8 times. And it was always at a Fozzy concert. And it's funny because the last time when I went, when they were at Bogart's, he looked at me, he's like, I've met you before. And I'm like, and I'm like, yup. And I'm like, and I hand him like the 8x10s of me and him and has him signing. And, you know, I just love it all. I just love him all the way around. You know, I love his books. I love his music. I love his wrestling. You know, I liked his dad when his dad played hockey, you know, but yeah, Chris Jericho he's my guy.
Cool enough.
Right. Yeah. I want to start wrestling. I want to start training. I want to one day, hopefully if I ever get a chance to go to AEW and just show them what I got, but I got to train.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hard work.
It is. And you know, I know your boy Onyx, man, he's a hell of a trainer from what I see and read and hear. And you know, so is Cody Hawk, man. Cody Hawk is a badass, you know. And I know you do some training too, so you know, I want to taste it, you know, I want to try it.
Oh yeah. You've got to get in there and put the work in. That's about the only way it'll happen.
I gotta quit drinking this. I gotta quit doing this.
Right.
I gotta lose that beer gut, you know. I mean, I see my turkey waddle. I shaved for this thing just to be semi professional, but what can I say?
Shave, what the hell, you know?
It'll grow back.
So Mikey, there's a point in the show where Donnie asks a specific question.
Okay.
Time for that question.
All right. Yeah, there's a question we ask everybody that's on the show. There's no right or wrong answer. We just like to listen to people's creativity and see what they come up with.
Okay.
And the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. My go-to kill, man. I really don't know. I think it'd be cool to run over somebody. I can't answer that question very well because it's like, you know, there's a lot of ways, you know. I'd like to strangle somebody, you know, make their eyeballs pop out. You know, I want to
take one,
you know. I would say go to kill. I would like to pull a Negan and I would like to beat the crap out of somebody with a ball bat. I do.
There you go.
Our streak still stands.
Right.
What is that, everybody's answer?
No, nobody has said the same thing twice.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Everybody's had a different answer.
Let's keep it going. 102 different answers. 103. I don't, how many? Yeah,
well, we started like halfway through, so probably about 40 to 50.
Hey, that's a good. That's a better. That's a better streak than Undertaker's streak.
So, Mikey, tell everybody where they can find out more about you and about Moan and all that good stuff.
Well, I mean, you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me at local wrestling shows. I'll be there. But the best place to find me is at a haunt. I would recommend, hey, go to our Facebook page and like us, but the best way to experience us, come see us live, you know, come see us at Haunts. You know, we post our schedules, you know, like we'll post, hey, we're going to be at the last carnival on this day, come and see us, you know, and, you know, Maul, I mean, You'll know it's us. You'll know because we just show that we are proud to be a part of the group. We show that we are just proud of who we are as haunters. But yeah, I would say social media, and then come out to your haunts, come out to the local haunts, support them, you know, because they're ready. So,
Donnie, any last words?
No, I think we covered pretty much what I wanted to get out there, and that's to try to tell people what traveling actors were and what their services are and all that. And that's something we hadn't touched on. So I think we've pretty much covered it.
All right. Well, with that being said, for myself, Meat Hook Jim, my co-host Donnie Hoover, and our special guest, Mikey Four Eyes, thanks for listening to the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We'll catch you on the next show.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.